Yeah.
What's up? Hi, everybody. Hey, it's Tom. How's it going? You know Tom. Remember me, host of the best show? Well, it's the best show, and I'm here to host it. So let's start it. I got a show coming for you. Got fun stuff and got surprises. Hopefully surprises.
Or otherwise, either you're going to be surprised or I'm going to be surprised. The one is good. It's going to be good if you're surprised. Not so good if I'm the one getting surprised, which what does that mean? We got somebody might be swinging by and hanging out with us. Let's fingers crossed it all works out. So I say to you, my friends, welcome. Welcome to the best show. The number one show that ever was and ever will be. What are you laughing at?
It's funny.
Oh, so funny, huh? It's funny, huh, Mike?
You're a funny guy.
I'm funny. How am I funny?
You're funny.
Funny how?
You know, what you say. It's funny.
No, I don't. I don't know what you mean. How am I funny?
You don't want me to say the next line, Tom.
Mike, let's just start the show, huh? Can we? Can we just start the show? Pat, we're gonna play a song by our friend Perry Schall and his new band.
Yes, we're gonna play the intro and then we're gonna go right into Perry, Wildflowers of America.
That's Perry's band, Wildflowers of America, Philadelphia's own. Wildflowers of America, and they've got a new record coming out, right?
Yes, it's called Lost in the Salvation Army, and we're going to hear an exclusive track. This is the debut track. It comes out later this week. Right. And the track we're going to hear is called Unkind, right after this theme.
So, I say, let's get the show on the road, guys, and let's do it. I'm not telling you or not to get the show. I'm saying it's time to get the show. There's not a judgment. I know it doesn't take much to get Mike feeling slighted or irked. Right?
Yeah. Mr. Sensitive. That's me.
There's a rage. I detect a rage within you, Mike.
Maybe it's the Ballantine Ale.
It's the so I should be detecting Ballantine Ale within you, is what you're saying.
It has a different effect on me.
Ballantine Ale?
Yeah.
Well, as long as you're sticking with the good stuff, that's what matters.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I haven't hit the Kirkland Light again.
Yeah, what's wrong? Yeah, what's wrong? The Kirkland Light turn? Well,
that's next week.
Yeah.
That's what we're down to.
Fine. All right. Okay. I can message received. Message received. Pat.
Want me to hit it?
Can you get this animal some beer for next week?
No problem.
I'll pick it up myself.
No, I got it, Mike.
You want me to fill a trough for you?
I might just change the labels on the Kirkland, honestly.
Yeah. All right. Let's start the show. Welcome to the best show. Here we go. Best show time.
Jersey, back again.
Yes.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
What's up, Mike?
Not a whole lot.
Okay. Well, let me tell you all this. Welcome to the best show. Welcome, welcome, welcome. We are here on a Tuesday night, and my name is Tom Sharpling, and I'm your host for tonight's installment of the show, and I say to you, hi, hello, what's up, and all the usual greetings that you get. I welcome you to another installment. We got a fun show for you. Got a surprise might be coming our way. Should be. Not might be. Should be. Thinking positive. And we got, of course, we got Devin here holding it down. Devin, right?
Yeah, it's Devin, yes.
Devin, yeah. Thank you for doing this, Devin.
Of course, my pleasure.
Because I'm here in Los Angeles, city of the damned. Los Angeles. You like that song, Mike?
I like it.
You know it?
No.
You don't know it.
Is that the Doors?
Is it the Doors? No, it's not the Doors.
It's a good guess.
If it was the Doors, it would go boom, right? Los Angeles, right? He's that guy. When you think about it, Mike, and you think about that, like the Native American, he says, like kind of entered his body, right?
Yeah. He had an experience.
Yeah, experience.
A spiritual experience.
And that might have been just like a really dumb Native American guy, which is very possible. It's dumb. Everybody's just dumb people in all walks of life.
That's true.
Could have just been like a boring blowhard entered this six-year-old who was already predisposed to be boring. So he's got two boys, he's doubly boring. He's got this boring Native American spirit in him, and he was already a snooze.
Yeah.
When the music's over, right, Mike?
Yeah.
Turn off the lights. Turn out the lights. The killer walked down the road. Ay, ay, ay. Can you believe anybody swallowed that for 5 minutes?
The time.
No, yeah. It wasn't the time.
That stuff wouldn't fly today. But it,
no, of course it would. No, there's con men going on all the time.
Yeah.
Mike.
Yeah.
Mike, how did you? It's con man central. One show's worse than the next. I'm kidding. I love it here. Why do I do these things?
I don't know. I can't wait till you come back and you regale us with the stories of L.A.
Why do I make such a mess for myself? Why do I do this, Mike? I can't not touch a flame. Right?
Yeah.
Like Dennis the Menace up in this piece. Can you hear it? Can I play something from the laptop? They can hear it?
If you give me a sec.
All right. Boy. Tell you, New Jersey wouldn't have that problem. Not judging.
We're getting there. We're working together.
I'm kidding. I'm so happy to be here with Pat and Mike and Dudio and Devin. We're all doing it.
Where's Dudio?
Is he not there?
No.
Dudio's on assignment tonight.
Oh, I'm sorry. I hope everything's good. Yeah. All right. So I says to you, we just heard from Perry Schall, his band, Wildflowers of America.
That's right.
And the song was called what now?
The song is called Unkind, and it's going to be from the album that comes out later this week called Lost in the Salvation Army.
That's good stuff, man. He did it again. Perry Schall, you did it again. Just like Soft Machine said, you did it again. You did it again. Doomed, sorry. I apologize to the damned who were offended by that. I said City of the Damned, the City of the Doomed. So anyway, Mike.
Yeah.
What's the phone number now?
It's the classic line of 201-332-3484, otherwise known as 201-DEAD-HUG.
And we, the lines are full. But,
lines are full.
Yeah, after we take a few callers, people should let the phone ring.
That's right. No more screening from here.
Let the phone ring, guys.
Yeah.
So anyway, I went to the movies last week, right? Mm-hmm. And I said that magic phrase. five words.
Yeah.
One for the Irishman, please.
Yeah.
So I go to this theater out here, Mike, mm-hmm. by myself.
Yeah.
I go to see the Irishman, mm-hmm. right? And you saw it in the theater, right, Mike?
I did.
Yeah. So I go to this theater. It's one of those theaters out here with the cushy seats.
Oh, yeah.
Take it easy.
Reclining? Yes.
Well, the legs go up. You can sit. It reclines a little bit.
Yeah.
You got to look at a movie screen. It can't recline that much. So I get in this thing. I sit down. I order some food. Right?
Food?
Food.
What kind of movie theater is this?
If you'd listen, I'll tell you. They have these theaters. They probably don't have one in Bayonne.
Or Howell.
Or Howell, because you maniacs will you trash it. But in more respectable neighborhoods, they have these theaters now, which are pretty polarizing as far as the movie going experience is, where you sit down, and they have a little menu, right?
Yeah.
A guy comes by, or lady. There's a everybody's working in food service these days. Guys, you got to get past this. It's not just a male-dominated industry. Uh-huh. There are not just waiters. There are waitresses as well. So I sit down. I look at the thing, and I'm like, I'd like to get a little mini pizza thing or something. And then some peanut M&Ms and a cold soda pop, right?
Yeah.
And I sit down. And then they say to me, that'll be $40. somehow it's one of the five most expensive meals I've ever eaten in my life. And it's basically cafeteria food.
How much for those M&Ms?
I don't
$5. I'm saying $5 for the M&M.
Right. I think more.
I'm probably assuming they were $16 in this place. So I sit down, and then this theater fills up pretty crowded. I'm just like, oh, this is not good. These people are going to blab during this thing.
You prefer the empty theater.
Oh, I prefer the empty theater. Yeah. Last time I sat in one of these dining theaters was when I saw The Beach Bum by myself. Ordered food, had them bring it in myself.
Felt like a king, right?
Yeah, I either felt like a king or I felt like I was just sitting alone. Uh-huh. I felt like, Junior Soprano. Sitting with a TV tray watching a movie. So I says to myself, this thing's going to be pretty long, this movie. And it's... still, it's still playing, actually. I'm still there. I'm still watching it. It's 10.5 days long. So movie starts, right? And it's The Irishman live in a theater. Not live. They filmed it already. So I'm watching it. And I'm eating the food, and I'm just like... I asked the waiter... I was like, food, the server. It's like, hey, is there an intermission? And she's like, no. I'm like, oh, boy. 3-hour, 40-minute movie plus trailers? Yikes. 4 hours, this is. And it starts. And look, I really liked the movie a lot. I liked it a lot. Mike, I'm sure you hated it.
No, Tom. I've actually seen it twice now. And it was even better the second time around.
It was.
Yes. So, you know.
You know what this makes me want to do, Mike?
Yeah.
Take it away from you. just like you take everyone else's enjoyment.
Okay. Right, go for it.
I like when I told you that I thought Hal Ashby sucked, mm-hmm. I saw a look on your face as if it was dirty pool. Uh-huh. I said, "Being sucks, shampoo sucks, mm-hmm. Last Detail, they could have just turned the cameras on and left and it would have filmed itself pretty much."
You know what? I watched The Last Detail again recently.
Yeah.
And there are some bad scenes in there, but that the bar scene is great though. You got to admit.
Mm-hmm. The bar scene?
Yeah. The orgy scene is not good, and the cult scene is not good. That they haven't aged well.
Was that the one when he's like, "I just want to get a chicken salad sandwich"?
Yeah.
Right?
That's a different movie, but yeah, same different actor.
So which movie is it? This is the one where he's like,
he wanted to get a drink for the underage.
Oh, that's. So he's like, "I just want to get a drink for this kid."
Yeah.
And then he's like, "Here's Johnny."
Yeah, he goes off on him. Classic.
So kid. Anyway, I sit down to watch this movie, Irishman, right? And it starts off, I was like, wait a minute. Is this footage from someone's grandparents' vacation? First 20 minutes. Like watching your grandparents get ready to go on a trip, right? Then we filled the car, we had all the luggage, and we drove, and we're heading to Ohio from, where were they, Philly?
Yeah, Philly.
Yeah.
It's a different pace. No Rolling Stones songs on the soundtrack.
No. No, this one only had
a few
songs.
Yeah.
Then it had some of that compelling Robbie Robertson contemporary score.
I have to say, that was pretty good. I enjoyed that.
Yeah.
It's hard for you to praise Robbie Robertson, I understand.
He's the worst member of the band?
Yeah, no, I understand that. But
the guy who, when you rewatch Last Waltz, you realize he's singing out loud like, he's like singing "The Night They Drove Old Dixie Down," but he's 7 feet from the mic because he can't sing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I'm not going to make excuses for his entire career, but I thought he did a good job in this movie.
Yeah, but who could you tell me? I couldn't put the thing together for a Martin Scorsese movie. Couldn't put a score together for that. Tell me I couldn't do that. I'd just be like, yeah, okay, let's put some Black Sabbath right here. Right?
No, I'm talking about the original music. The score.
Oh, I could have definitely done that.
With the harmonica. It's a nice mood, I thought he said.
The harmonica?
Yeah, that little sort of, you know, when he's dumping the guns, there's a little montage there with the music.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, everybody. Tim Heidecker here to let you know about our latest episode of Office Hours Live.
Office Hours is great fun.
With the great John Early and Theda Hamill.
Very handsome.
Thank you. They're here to talk about their new movie, Stress Positions. And we just had a wonderful time. There was a lot of laughter and joy. Don't believe me? Well, listen for yourself on the podcast app of your choice. You're not going to want to miss a second. That's at Office Hours Live at the podcast app of your choice.
Bum, 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 bum.
I love Vic and Doug, and I love drinking my wine.
Yeah. So anyway, I see this thing, and then they pull over, him and Joe Pesci pull over while their wives are smoking cigarettes, and then they're like, "Look over there, there's that place. You remember that place?" And then suddenly it goes into flashback mode, and apparently Robert De Niro in this movie used to be the child of Alec Baldwin and Robin Williams. Somehow had a child.
Yeah, it's weird looking.
He looks so weird.
Yeah.
And this is what I'll say. Do I agree with Martin Scorsese when he talks about the superhero movies? Yeah, I do. I totally agree with him. I love those movies. I love them, but I'm just like, yeah, you should get mad at them. They're overtaking everything.
So, but he goes, he makes a thing. He might as well have had him be green. He might as well have had Robert De Niro just be green for the rest of the movie. Right?
Yeah.
Might as well go all the way with it. You're going to change his face. Make him green while you're at it.
It was weird. It was like the mother in those post-death Sopranos episodes.
That was 19 years ago,
yeah,
Mike.
Yeah, but
Mike, the technology has advanced.
Yeah.
But apparently they're still working with the same equipment from season two of The Sopranos for this thing.
I went with it. I wasn't going
to I went with it, too. Look, Mike, I like the movie. Mike, I like the movie.
Yeah, okay.
I liked it a lot. I thought it was great.
Mm-hmm.
But Martin Scorsese goes and says he's like moaning about all the Marvel movies. He made a Marvel movie.
Yeah.
It's 3 hours long, just like Avengers Endgame.
Uh-huh.
It's got everyone in it, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. Who was your favorite?
I liked Al Pacino in it. Because I liked it.
Yeah.
He was doing the full Western Pennsylvania. He was basically doing the voice I do for Joe Namath. It's like, uh-huh. Well, what you have to realize is that I'm trying to just get the union to do the things I need them to. Like the L's were so like, look, what I'm trying to do is get everyone to realize that it's. Yeah, he was doing that. He was leaning into the L's.
Yeah,
might as well start doing a Joe Namath impression.
Yeah, the second time I watched it, I appreciated his performance a lot more. And
no, he's great. I think he's great. I was able to appreciate it on the first screening. It took me two, but that's
Joe Pesci.
It took you 8 hours of watching the movie to realize that his performance was good. Man, it took me only four.
Here's the list of my favorite performances. Joe Pesci, number one. Al Pacino, number two. Number three is the Canada Dry ginger ale bottle, which works its way into like several scenes. And I think it's going to be nominated for Best Supporting Actor. You watch. Then Robert De Niro.
You watch. The Canada Dry. What did you think of what's his name? Raymond. Everybody loves Raymond.
Yeah, he's okay. You know, I mean, everybody's going crazy about him. You know. He did it was a simple job. I don't think it was that complicated.
And was that Lois? Was that Lois in it?
Yeah, Jimmy Hoffa's wife.
Yeah. She didn't have her lucky hat on, though.
No, she didn't.
What if she had Lois's lucky hat on? Or
that would have been fun. That would have been fun. It would have been fun if she was, like, packing that for the road trip. And then,
yeah, and so and you hear,
she wasn't on the road trip. She gets into a car, and something happens.
Yeah. They didn't get very far with the lucky hat. No. I guess that hat really was lucky because they didn't get out of the driveway in Goodfellas.
No. Did you see it in a theater, Mike?
Yeah, I saw it in the theater, and then I watched it on Netflix.
Now, when you say you saw it in the theater, you weren't watching it in the back seat of your DVD connection, were you?
My guy didn't have a good copy, so
no,
I never got a good copy.
And I need to get Irishman.
I asked.
Didn't have it?
Didn't have it.
So I'm watching this thing, right? And it's like so – first of all, I think it happened in real time, the thing. I think it's 40 years long.
You know what? You know, I want to say this. Twitter, Facebook, all these posts by people like they're climbing Mount Everest to watch a movie for 3.5 hours.
Mike, you're not going to get any argument from me on this.
I mean, have you seen it? I mean, it's so over the top. And yet,
we're at. Uh-huh. This is why I feel like, look, I'm against war, right?
Mm-hmm.
Of course I'm against war. You know me.
I'm with you on that, Tom.
I'm against war. But this is what I feel like we should do in America is reinstate the draft. It's everybody's too soft. I'm not saying we send everybody to war.
Yeah.
You just make them go and do some work, toughen up a little bit. Right?
Yeah.
Get some calluses on those fingers.
We're conveniently too old to be a part of it.
We're in a place now where people are like, I can't watch this whole movie.
And then the other people complaining are, it's boring, you know. And I guess for Scorsese movie, it doesn't have a high body count, so it's boring.
No, it's kind of boring, but I don't think that's a negative thing in this case.
I don't think it's boring.
I think it's slightly boring. I think the movie's slightly boring, but I don't think that's a negative thing necessarily.
I think it's compelling throughout. The only scene I thought was a little could have been shorter or left out was the fish in the backseat of the car thing.
Mm-hmm. You would have trimmed that down.
Just seemed out of place, right? It kind of now we're going to get a comedy routine, you know. Yeah.
And you would have given Anna Paquin less lines in the movie.
Yeah, she did. No, Harvey Keitel less lines.
Yeah. And he didn't. Those are they reunite the team and they,
poor guy.
One dude didn't realize he's not getting off the bench.
Somebody They're said just he's got health issues though. I don't know if that's true.
I don't know. He's up there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He didn't do, it's like we're getting De Niro, Pesci's back. Harvey, you're back too. We got a taxi driver back again, like the team. And you say two things. Don't worry, we'll give Sebastian Maniscalco more lines than you.
He had one of the rings, too.
Yeah. And he was, did you like him in it, Mike, Sebastian Maniscalco?
Oh, no, he was not good.
He was not good?
Yeah, I don't like him. You like that character? I thought he was like, you know, hamming it up. I know the real guy was probably a ham, too, but. I wasn't a fan.
We're excited to see Umberto's Clam House. It's a great commercial for that place, by the way.
I want to congratulate you on pronouncing his last name so well. I don't think I could ever do that.
I bet you could. I bet you have it in you. Pat, did you see this movie?
I have not seen it yet. I'm planning to see it, but I have not seen it yet.
I know a movie you have seen.
Which one?
Drowning Mona.
Unfortunately, I have seen that.
This is the bane of his existence.
I did go see Dr. Sleep.
How was Dr. Sleep?
I actually liked it a lot.
Okay. Because that actually is the nickname for the Irishman.
Right. When I got my ticket, they started praying the ticket for the Irishman, and I said, no, I literally want to see a movie called Dr. Sleep. So.
Yeah.
Have you seen it yet?
No, I haven't. It's been sold out at every show.
It's really good. Wait
outside the theaters. They just can't get me in. No, I want to see it. I want to see Dr. Sleep.
Yeah.
Is Jack in it, right?
There's some surprises, some surprise elements. I don't want to ruin it, but and they do a good job. I think it pays good homage to Kubrick and also Stephen King. And I heard Stephen King really liked it too. I'm not a huge Stephen King fan, but I am a fan of the movie The Shining. And
sure.
I thought, you know, I look at it as kind of two separate films that are somewhat tied together. And I think the director did a good job of making that happen.
So I'll check it out.
Yeah.
So with The Irishman, though, you should check it. It's on Netflix, Pat.
Yeah, no, I will. I'm going to watch it. Probably won't go to the theater, but.
He goes and he like, it's like Robert De Niro is playing like a schnook, right?
Yeah.
He's a chump in this movie.
Yeah.
A buffoon.
Buffoon. He floats through life.
It's a movie. It's like, remembering Goodfellas? Imagine if they made Goodfellas, but they took out all the fun parts of it. What would that movie look like? But slow down. It's twice as long.
It's just 20 minutes of chopping garlic really thin.
Yeah. Imagine. No, that's too fun. That was too fun, Pat. That scene's too fun. Imagine it's Goodfellas. It's the scene when they're doing the ASMR video when he's got the gun in his face. He's going like. What was his wife's name in Goodfellas again? What was Lorraine Bracco's name? Was Karen. When she's like, she has the gun in his face, and he's like, Karen, what are you doing? The world's most troubling ASMR video. Ray Liotta with a gun in his face. Because she's like, USB, Karen, what are you doing? Put the gun away. No, so imagine it's that scene. It's the scene when he's like, she's like, I flushed the drugs in the toilet. And he's like, why did you do that? I needed that money. It's that scene. But instead of drugs, it's a fish in the backseat of a car. And then, yeah, so he really looks, sometimes he looks like Alec Baldwin. And sometimes he looks like Robin Williams. And then he's got these blue eyes that are just troubling. Troublingly weird and intense. And then the final movie, the final hour of the movie is this amazing meditation on croaking, uh-huh. Keeling over, kicking the bucket.
And the damage he's done to his family, yeah.
Yeah. And the damage he's done to his family. I couldn't have said it better. That was like poetry, Mike. So, my pick to click for the week is The Irishman in theaters now. If the movie you'd like to see is The Irishman, press 2 now.
You didn't even mention my highlight the first time I saw it, the Stephen Van Zandt cameo.
Oh yeah, when he sang the song.
Yeah,
that was. I almost got up and walked out
in the Irishman.
Yeah. When I almost got out of got out of my recliner. Uh-huh. And walked out. And the other great thing about when you go to these theaters with the food is when they come over and they're just like, would you like anything else? If you need anything else, let me know. It's like, I'm trying to watch the movie.
Yeah, how annoying, yeah.
And then when they do the check drop during, like, the final. I'm like, what's going to happen here? Like, you could just give me a credit card for this. Okay. Well, I'm trying to see what happens with who gets shot here in the end. Do you mind?
I'll never go to one of those theaters.
Yeah, there's never going to be one in Bayonne.
They already closed.
It'll be like, you might as well just go eat a ham and cheese sandwich in the back of your movie guy's car.
I think Hudson County's down to 3 theaters now.
Yeah.
We're running out. They're closing left and right.
Yeah, you know why, Mike?
Yeah.
You guys don't have no respect for property.
The DVD bootleggers. Hudson
County. Yeah, it's the DVD bootlegger combined with the average Bayonians. You call someone from Bayonne?
Bayonite.
A Bayonite.
Yeah.
The average Bayonite's lack of respect for property. That's why.
Yeah.
These are the businesses that went out in Bayonne. We can review them now, Mike. Right.
Yeah. Okay.
McDonald's.
Now there's still one hanging in there.
Hardee's is gone.
Never had a Hardee's.
Hardee's is gone. Arby's. That Arby's went out of business. Remember?
Never had an Arby's.
Yeah.
Not my lifetime.
What other businesses went out in there? Is the Green Quick Check still in business?
That's still going. That place is jumping.
What was Acme before Acme was there? Because now it's something else.
Acme was there when I got to Bayonne.
Okay. Because the supermarket changes a lot.
That supermarket is not what it used to be. I don't go there anymore.
So wait, not to go back, but Stephen Van Zandt's in it. So many people are in it.
I spotted another Sopranos actor, which I failed to mention the last time we talked about it. Remember Eugene Porzekovo, the guy who hung himself in the garage?
I don't remember him.
You don't remember that character?
It's a small part of Sopranos.
He was, I don't know what season, but you don't remember that hanging in the garage? I mean, that's like a...
Mike, I don't.
That was a tough scene. But anyway, he's the guy who introduces Robert De Niro to... the guy in the restaurant eating steak.
My question is, if they had all these people, Sopranos cameo person, Stephen Van Zandt, all these people, why couldn't Martin Scorsese get friend of the show Kevin Corrigan involved in this?
Yeah, that's a good question.
That would have been nice.
Yeah. All-star cast.
Yeah.
Come on.
I owe Kevin an email. I didn't answer as he texted me.
Well, I'm sure Ray Liotta is not happy. You know, they could have worked him in there someplace, I think.
Yeah. They could have put him in, right? Have him do it.
Maybe beefed him up to play Fitz.
What? You're having a party over there. I don't like it.
They could have beefed him up.
I really don't like when you're having
the second in command to Hoffa. Fitzsimmons, whatever.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, when he was like.
I didn't know that actor at all.
All right, give me a call. I want to talk to the caller. I've had enough of. But seriously, Irishman, if you ever want. If you ever find yourself with 2 days and nothing better to do, check out The Irishman.
You're on with line one.
Hey, who's this?
Hi, it's Aubrey.
Aubrey?
Yep, it's Aubrey.
Hi, Aubrey.
Hi.
How are you?
Not so good.
Not so good? Is this echo only I'm hearing? It's not over the air?
Correct.
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Well, what's wrong, Aubrey?
I cracked my phone, like shattered it.
And you sat on it?
It hurts my finger. Yeah, I didn't sat on it. I dropped it on concrete whenever I was running around and playing, and my dad told me there was a screen protector on it, but turns out there wasn't, so it shattered.
Okay. So he wanted you to spring for the screen protector?
Huh?
Your dad wanted you to get the screen protector?
No, he said there was a screen protector on it, but there wasn't actually one on. So then I accidentally dropped my phone when I was running.
Aubrey, are you anywhere near your dad? I'm sure he's hovering, right?
Yeah.
All right, this is what I need you to do.
What?
This is what you turn to him. Right?
Okay.
Say to him.
Yeah.
This is what I want you to say to your dad. Nice call on the screen protector, bro.
Nice call on the screen protector, bro. He's laughing at you.
He's laughing?
Yeah, he's laughing at you.
Laughing at me?
Yeah.
Well, I want you to, then say this to your father. Say this is what I want you to say.
Okay.
What are you laughing at?
What are you laughing at?
Do I amuse you?
Do I amuse you? It says I'm like a clown.
So say I'm funny, huh? You think I'm funny?
I'm funny, huh? You think I'm funny?
How?
How?
Then say, hey, spider.
Okay. Hey, spider.
Want a Seagram's? You get like a Seagram. Say, I want a Seagram's on the rocks.
I want a Seagram's on the rocks.
And go bing, pow, boom.
And bing, pow, boom.
Very good, Aubrey.
Thank you.
Very good. So what's going on? How's school?
Fine.
It's fine.
I got all A's.
Did?
Yeah.
What's your least favorite subject and what's your favorite subject?
My least favorite subject is math. Mm-hmm. And my favorite subject is history.
What's your favorite part of history, your favorite time period to learn about?
Rights movements like African American rights. And stuff.
Have
like
you seen
that.
Irishman yet?
No.
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 What's your favorite
my mom's
movie?
Irish.
Also? What's that?
Oh, my mom's Irish.
Okay.
My What's favorite your movie.
Yeah.
I forgot what that movie was called. I think it's called VHS or something like that.
VHS?
I don't know.
A horror movie.
Like that. I forgot his name. I keep on forgetting things. Okay, hold on a second. What's his name? The guy that Polka guy? No, the other guy. Movie. No, the Polka guy.
The Polka guy.
No, the guy that
Jack Black.
I'm talking to my dad right now. The guy that made the movie VH. Weird Al.
Oh, UHF.
Yeah, UHF, not
VHS.
UHF.
Like Weird Al.
Yeah.
What's your favorite Weird Al song?
I don't know, honestly. I don't listen to him. I just watch the movie.
You just like the movie. That's good.
Yeah.
I like that. I like you like Weird Al. Mm-hmm. And you don't like math.
No.
You like Weird Al.
Yeah. I don't like math.
Where are you at with Father John Misty? What's that like? You digging him lately? Or you just don't get it? Because sometimes I'm like, I'm into it. And other times I'm like, I don't know if I can get it. I don't like the tood. I don't like the tood so much.
The who?
Go ahead. I don't know. Just go ahead. Tell me more, Aubrey. What made you call?
My dad told me that you make him happy when he's sad. So he said I should call you. So, because I'm sad, because my phone cracked. So you want me
to make you happy? Is that what you want?
Yeah, that's what my dad says.
Okay. Well, tell your dad, first of all, I appreciate the pressure.
Okay. Tom appreciates the pressure.
Of making his child happy.
Of making his child happy.
When last time I checked, I wasn't the one who said there was a screen protector on the phone.
I wasn't the one who said there's a screen protector on the phone. There we go.
Is Dad laughing?
Yep. Like always.
Like always. Laughing it up.
Mm-hmm.
So what's going on? What TV shows are you watching, Aubrey?
I watch Netflix.
You watch Netflix?
And bong. Disney Plus.
Right. Do you like when Netflix goes bong, right?
Yeah.
Ba-dong. Ba-dong. What's your favorite thing to watch on Netflix?
It's a Nickelodeon show called Victorious.
Starring Victoria Justice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How do you know?
You like that show?
Yeah.
Who's your favorite character on it? Victoria Justice?
No, Cat.
Cat?
Yeah.
From Sam and Cat? What?
Yeah.
Ariana Grande?
Yeah, she's my favorite character because she's so stupid.
Now, that's not nice to say.
No, that's how she act. That's how she's supposed to act. She always talks about her brother being a crazy person.
Mm-hmm. Well, all I can say to you, Aubrey, is I hope for the holidays, and you get what holiday do you celebrate, Aubrey? If you don't mind me asking, Christmas.
Christmas.
Are you excited? Mm-hmm. Maybe Santa, maybe you check that stocking. You'll get a screen protector in it, right?
Yeah, but I think I'm going to get a new phone.
Meant to give this to you last year.
Okay.
Good luck looking through the spider web of the cracked screen. Is it like a spider web?
Yeah, it's very, very cracked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You got to tell your dad, say to him, give me your SIM card. We're switching phones.
Give me your SIM card. We're switching phones.
You get this. You get this cracked pile of garbage.
Huh?
Say you get the one that's a cracked piece of garbage.
You get the one that's a cracked piece of garbage. I'd rather have my mom's phone.
Okay, well, say it to your mom.
Than my dad.
Say, hey, mom. Is your mom nearby?
Yeah.
Say, hey, mom. Give me that SIM. We're switching SIM cards.
Hey, mom. Give me that phone. We're switching SIM cards. Mom says no.
Say to her, I'm not leaving this room.
Until
we switch SIM cards.
Huh?
Say, I'm not leaving this room until we switch SIM cards.
I'm not leaving this room until we switch SIM cards. Wow. What a party pooper.
What do you think of Baby Yoda?
He's cute.
You think he's
so cute? It looks like the Yoda that, you know how Yoda was like 1,000 years old when he died?
Yeah. What? Wait, hold on.
he was like 700 or something. Not 1,000, but he was like really old.
No, Yoda died?
Yeah, the old Yoda in the original Star Wars series.
How?
He died on the bed in front of Luke Skywalker. He died when he was like 700.
I didn't even know he was sick.
Yeah. Baby Yoda is like 50.
What's the song? If you were to write a song right now, Aubrey, about Baby Yoda, how would that go?
I don't know.
Make a song right now.
Like, Baby Yoda
kind of looks
green.
Baby Yoda. Right?
Yeah, Baby Yoda looks green. He might be mean, but my cousin says that he's going to eat his spleen.
Baby Yoda. He looks green. He might be mean, but my cousin said he would eat his spleen. What was that?
Yes, my cousin always said that to us. He was like, I'm going to eat your spleen.
Yeah, that sounds good. I like that song. We co-wrote a song, Aubrey. How about that?
It's amazing. I'm going to publish it.
All right, now this is what... Oh, wait, you're going to publish it?
Yeah.
You get co-publishing on this. You got the business side locked up, huh?
Mm-hmm.
This is what I want you to say to your father.
Okay.
Hey, Dad. Say, hey, Dad. What's his first name?
Hey,
What's his
Dad.
First name? What's his first name?
Jeremy.
Gary?
Jeremy.
Gary.
Jeremy.
What?
Jerry.
Okay, here's what you're going to say. Ready? So it's Jerry.
It's Jeremy.
Jeremy.
Yeah, Jeremy.
Okay, so this is what you say. Say, yo, Jeremy.
Yo, Jeremy.
Go make some popcorn.
Go make some popcorn.
Because I got to watch The Irishman tonight.
Because I got to watch The Irishman tonight.
Irishman.
Irishman.
Say, fire up the Netflix, Jeremy.
Fire up the Netflix, Jeremy.
Because your kid's about to watch The Irishman.
Because your kid's about to watch The Irishman.
And I wouldn't mind.
And I wouldn't mind.
a little bit of Papa John's.
A little bit of Papa John's. I think he said that we just had pizza because his facial expression, I think, said that.
Facial expression said you just had pizza. You know what else might say you just had pizza? The pizza you ate might also be a good indicator that you had pizza.
Mm-hmm.
What's your favorite pizza, Aubrey?
I like...
Let me guess. I'm going to guess.
Okay.
You like cheese on your pizza, right? You like cheese?
Yeah.
Okay. You like a pizza with crust, right?
Yeah.
And but it's got sauce on it also, right? You like that?
Yeah, sauce. But what type of crust?
What type of crust?
Yeah.
You probably like that crust filled with chocolate, right?
Sure.
No? You ever have a dessert pizza?
No. Used to eat... Well, I really like pineapple pizza that has cheese and that has no pepperoni and that's thin crust.
Yeah, you get it.
Barbecue.
I'm telling you, you get it, I get it. I order pizza when I'm in the studio, right? This AP mic, right?
Mm-hmm.
First of all, he's always moaning. He's always moaning. You know people like that, Aubrey? They're always moaning. There's got something to complain
like,
about.
Kind of like me.
What's that?
Kind of like me.
No, you don't complain. You don't complain the way Mike complains.
Oh, okay. That's good.
But I like a pizza with a pineapple on it, right? And then they have it, and then those guys order it. They order it, and then I get out there. It's cold, and usually I can tell they poked at it also. Like, I can see fingerprints on it. And then Mike's like, come on, eat it. Take a bite. And he's staring at me while I got the pizza there. He must have done something to it.
That seems like something my brother would do.
What's your brother's name?
Dylan.
Dolan?
Dylan.
What?
Dylan. D-Y-L-A-N.
Dylan. Ah.
Yeah.
Is your brother older than you?
No. I trick him all the time, so he likes to get me
back. Him all the time?
Yeah. It's fun.
All right. Not rooting for you all of a sudden. You lost me on that. You can't kick your brother.
I don't kick my brother. I trick him.
You trick him? How do you trick him?
Huh? How do I trick him?
How do you trick
him?
Dollar with a string on it?
No, I say to him, I tell him a word that don't even exist, and then I tell him to tell them to his friends and his mom and dad, and then he'll tell them to my mom and dad, and I say that they're gonna think he's real smart.
So you're setting out to make your brother seem like a dunce. Right, a dimwit.
Yeah.
Right?
He's mean to me, so I gotta get back.
He's mean to you, so you get him back by making him look like a dolt, right?
Yeah.
A buffoon. Right?
Yes.
Like a buffona.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a funny thing, Aubrey. One of the things that Martin Scorsese talked about is somebody asked him, why has Danny Aiello never been in one of your movies? And he said he's a buffona. He's a buffoon. He's a buffoon. I don't put buffoons in my movie.
Well, there's always that one person that is.
Yeah. If you're not sure who the buffona is, it might be you.
What?
All right. Aubrey, I got a boogie here.
Okay, me too. I gotta go to bed.
Oh, you gotta go somewhere too? Oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to tie you up there.
Okay.
What, are you in a rush?
Well,
excuse me. I need to slow you down. You're in a rush to go to bed?
Yeah, it's not that fun, but it's something.
Yeah, I hear you. All right, you have a great night.
Okay.
Bye.
Good night.
Bye. Give me one more call, and then I got a special guest in studio. Mike doesn't know about the special guest.
Line two on the air.
Hold on. I'm seeing a clip here of Mike Francesa talking about Irishman. Hot this up, please. Devin,
yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. A little bit and ask you your thoughts on the Irishman movie.
I liked it. I thought it was too long.
This guy does a show. He talks about sports 9 hours a day. He talks about the Giants game that's 2 weeks away, and he's going to say that something's too long?
I thought that Scorsese trying to explain why the Hoffa mystery has had the legs it's had.
The whole movie's about how it doesn't have legs and no one knows who he is. This guy, I tell you one thing, makes me nauseous. He's about to clean up when the Uncut Gems comes out and everybody sees him act in it. Makes me sick. That this clown is about to get a praise.
After the execution, we didn't need all of that to explain it. I mean, I think he went out of his way, you know, to explain why we still have this mystery and all the different, conspiracies,
This has literally nothing to do with the movie. All the conspiracies of it, that's not even remotely a part of people, all the conspiracies of how Jimmy Hoffa died. They just picked one and stuck with it.
Even now, as the movie comes out, a lot of guys who are ex-mobsters or were mobsters have come out and said, it's not true. That's not
ex-mobsters. All these ex-mobsters are coming out. You know how it is. Ex-mobsters. Mike, this guy doesn't get it, does he?
He died, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
So, I mean, they've knocked the book. And I read the book. I read the book when Pesci told me about the book at the Travelers about 4 years ago or 5 years ago. Last time I was at the Travelers, Pesci was there. And Pesci and I said...
Pesci, glad to know. I've never referred to anyone in my life ever by their last name in such a comfortable way.
Down and we were talking, and Pesci says to me, listen, I just optioned this book called You Paint Houses. And
I just optioned this book, You Paint Houses.
Paint Houses, and which is obviously is a code for, from the movie, but that was the name of the book.
My problem is kids today say all the time. They just can't express themselves correctly. The 77-year-old just said more than any kid.
Said, I'm going to make it into a movie with De Niro and Pacino.
De Niro. So Pesci, you saw Pesci at the Travelers, and he optioned You Paint Houses, and he's going to put De Niro in it.
And I'm like, wow, that would be unbelievable. That was probably 5 or 6 years ago. And as it turns out, they make the movie. Now, Pacino had never worked for Scorsese. I didn't realize that until I watched they have this little promotion that they run on Netflix for the movie. I didn't realize that in his whole career, Pacino had never worked for Scorsese once.
Trivia tidbit there that everyone knew that Al Pacino had never been in a Martin Scorsese movie, but he had to watch that promotion that told him that Pesci had been.
Had never, ever.
You would have thought they crossed paths.
Somewhere. I mean, you would have thought somewhere they crossed paths, but he never had worked for Pacino. Pacino had never worked for Scorsese ever. Now, De Niro and Scorsese are tied at the hip. They know each other.
They did one. How many movies did they actually do together? Two?
What, De Niro and Scorsese? Like nine?
Well, they did six together.
Six,
I believe.
Okay, there you go.
They were kids. They've been together a million times. Obviously, Pesci.
For six.
He's in Casino. He's in Goodfellas.
Goodfellas. That was the best thing. As the clip ended,
he got one last moment of magic in the final second. He was, you know, with De Niro and Scorsese, they're joined at the hip, and he did a million things together. Did Casino, they did Goodfellas. Hail thee, Goodfellas. Is there any room at the inn tonight? So I have someone in studio right now. He's a friend, and it's an honor to have him. It's an honor. I don't use the word honor. I don't use the word friend casually. This is an actual real life friend. This guy. He's one of the, if not the, driving force of comedy in the last 70 years. Is that fair to say 70? Well, you can. And he's the star of. He's the star of the Andy Samberg bicycle movie, right?
Yes.
You were in that, right?
Yeah.
And he's from, you might know him from Bob's Burgers.
Yeah, I did that twice.
He did that. And his name is Nathan Fielder. How are you?
I'm good.
It's exciting to have. Thank you for coming on
the
show.
Thank you for having me, Tom.
It's very exciting to have you here, and we are pumped to have you in studio. Mike? Yeah. You know Mike?
Yeah, I know Mike. Mike. Hi, Mike.
Great to hear you, man.
Are you cooking?
Great to hear you, man.
Yeah, I was cooking. You caught me.
The toad.
Mike, are you... Where are you physically?
I'm in a studio in North Jersey.
He's in the studio. Now, Nathan, I just want to get right to it. You're the star of Nathan for You, right?
Yes.
And that's the hit show that has...
It's the hit show, yeah.
That has all the people talking, right?
Yeah.
And this show was you when you're out and about... Right.
I'm just doing my thing out and about on the town, and we kind of film it. We document what I do, and then we air it, kind of.
Sure. No, that's not – but you did that, and that's done now, right?
Yeah. We finished that, ended it in 2017.
Yes.
After four seasons.
Yeah, and you did that, and you did the one with that, the final one was the one with that loser who was trying to.
Well, I don't know about calling him a loser. He was a, you know, an older man who's an actor, impersonator, yeah. wanted to be an actor.
And he impersonated Bill Gates.
Yeah, he impersonated Bill Gates, and, he wanted to find this woman that he, you know, was in love with when he was 20.
Sure.
And we helped him track her down. That was the final one.
Yes.
It was an hour and a half long. 2 hours. Well, with commercials.
Sure. Well, of course with commercials. But now
a lot of streaming services don't even use ads.
No. Like you watch Netflix, like if I was watching, like say, like The Irishman on Netflix, right? Which have you seen it?
Yes.
And you enjoyed it?
Yes.
What was your favorite part? The first reveal when you saw that Robert De Niro looked half like Robin Williams and half like Alec Baldwin? That part?
I mean, I don't think I ever got used to the fact that the faces were young, but they still moved like old people.
Yeah. Yeah, they move like fossils, and they're supposed to be. How old was he supposed to be in that opening scene, Devin?
I read he's supposed to be 24 when he first meets Pesci.
20. He was a 24-year-old guy, hunched behind the wheel of the truck.
I really thought he was supposed to be like in his late 40s.
Late 40s.
In that scene.
Yeah,
I thought they were older then than they were, when he was in the nursing
prison.
Home in the prison. No, they were. The CGI is just strange.
Did you love the movie? Or
I
did. Did you hate
I really
it?
Did.
Yeah.
I did like it a lot.
Yeah,
and I think it was very impressive. And but I thought the CGI was just off the charts weird.
Can I ask, when I walked in, you were talking to a child.
Yeah.
How did you meet that that child.
Oh, she called the number, and that's the extent of it.
And do you need anything, like, do you need any sort of, like, parental consent when a child calls, or do you just start talking to the kid?
Well, legally, whoever calls, I pick the phone. We're not calling them. They're calling us, so I can take a call.
Legally, whoever calls, you pick the phone up?
Legally, I am allowed to take any calls, what I'm saying. I don't need some sort of clearance. If you call the show.
So you asked some lawyer about this at some point?
Oh, yes, I have, actually.
So you're like, kids call me. What do I do? Am I allowed to talk with
them? Yeah. All right, okay. Oh, I've spent hundreds of hours reviewing this with an attorney.
Really?
Yes, really.
Have they combed?
I'm joking.
They've combed through it all.
They've listened to the shows. Look, we stress test this thing harder than anyone else can. If we don't kick it and make sure this thing works, brother, I'm telling you, if when they get their hands on it, we're dead. We're as dead as the Irishman.
Uh-huh.
As the Irishman's friend. Uh-huh. What's his face? What was the guy's name?
Hoffa.
Yeah. How'd you like Al Pacino in that when he was like,
great.
Well, you know, I like ice cream.
Did he say that? Like, did he even reference ice cream or?
I mentioned ice cream like 60 times in it. When he's just like, look what I got. 2 ice creams. This one's for me and what's the daughter's name again?
Peggy.
No, this is only for me and Peggy. 2 ice creams.
Yeah, I like that part.
Mm-hmm. And how about the part when he's like, I'm just in prison eating ice cream.
Did he go to prison?
Yeah. Did you miss huge stretches of the movie or something?
Yeah, he goes to prison.
That's, Pacino?
Yeah, Hoffa goes to prison for a while and then comes out and doesn't have his power. And yeah, that's the.
Doesn't have his power.
Well, he comes back. He's not allowed to.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I remember. Yeah. I remember now.
Remember who's in.
Where he fought Pesci. In prison.
No, he fought some other guy. He fought the other guy who was the assistant.
Right, yeah.
The guy who was running against
him. Oh, yeah.
Right.
That's who he fought.
Tony Pro's guy or whatever. Tony Pro.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I saw this movie over a week ago, so sure. I can't be perfect, my memory.
No, I can understand how you can't hold on to core details that happened to one of the 2 main characters. No, it's been a week. And look, to be fair, it's 11 hours long.
It is long, mm-hmm. but I was attentive during it.
Did you see it in the theater?
I did, yeah.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't full. Like, I saw it the week it came out at mm-hmm. the Egyptian theater,
sure.
but it wasn't. Mm-hmm. A lot of people weren't there.
Yeah. Mike loved it.
Mike.
He's busy. He's got other things to do. He doesn't have time.
Is he straining the pasta?
Yeah, he doesn't have time to. Yeah. Mike. You said your favorite character, and it was who now? He's like the Canada Dry bottle. A fair amount.
Yeah, that Canada Dry bottle kept getting into scenes.
Are you chopping mushrooms?
He's doing a cooking show over there. Yeah, what are you doing, Mike? Tighten it up.
Having a slice.
It's embarrassing. I got Nathan Fielder.
No, I always try to bring Mike into the conversation.
I was letting you have the floor.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. Mike, it's been a while.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
But you sound good.
It's one of your bands of your countrymen.
Mm-hmm. Anything in your life in the past couple years that I need to be updated on?
No, not really.
He made a calendar and sold through 2 orders of it.
Yeah, the calendar. Oh, I just slashed the price on the headshots, Tom. Half price for the holiday season.
Yeah, why? You were losing money on those headshots?
I wanted to get rid of them.
That I bought?
Yeah.
I thought, well, it's like, you know what this is, Mike? This is the equivalent of like a lemonade stand. I pay for the supplies. I do the thing. You just roll out there at the lemonade. It's a pure profit for you.
Yeah, but if I recall correctly, the last time, the last batch you handed to me, you had this smile on your face, like, "Yeah, you're going to sell these," you know. It was sort of like I got a little, you're not going to sell these in a million years.
Take it easy. So,
I I'd love one of these calendars.
You'd like a calendar? Mike, dig a calendar up for Nathan. You still got a stash, right?
I have a couple with some accidents.
Accidents?
Yeah, I signed it to the wrong person or.
Yeah, I'll take one of those.
Yeah.
Signed it. like you misspelled the name and then you, or you just kind of, what do you mean to the wrong person?
I said happy birthday on the wrong date. You know, that type of stuff happens.
When you write happy birthday on a calendar, you write the date of the birthday too?
No, he signs on the, like if your birthday is like September 9th, he'll go to September 9th and write.
Happy birthday. I see. Oh, okay.
In the box.
Oh, yeah. Give me one of those. Okay. Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. I don't care. All
right. Happy birthday.
I get that. That's nice to do it on the date.
Give Tom your address and he'll pass it along.
Will you do like put on lipstick and then kiss May 12th, which is my birthday?
Just for you, Nathan.
Mike, Thank you. Got it. Mike, you got it. Mike, you got to film this. Oh, you got to do it.
Okay. I'll do it in the studio.
Don't you think Mike should do one of those cameo things where you can hire someone to do, like, to say, for sure. Happy graduation, Billy. I knew you could do it. It's like, wait, hold on a second. Jose Canseco knew I could graduate? And I just saw one the other day which truly upset me where some people clearly were making fun of Robert Wool. And they were just like, hey, I got beat up. My friend got beat up in school because he likes Arliss. And then kids like picked on him. And then it's Robert Wool like, hey, I heard you. It's me, Robert Wool. And you, I heard someone made fun of you for liking Arliss. Well, how about you shoot me an email, and they bleep out his email address. He's like, and I'm going to send you some new Arliss DVDs signed by me, and let's see what your friends think of that, huh? So, like, Robert Wall getting goofed on, and then they're posting it everywhere. I felt sorry for Robert Wall, which is an accomplishment for me to suddenly be like, oh, man, poor Robert Wall.
Do you think Mike would get taken advantage of on there? Or
I don't think he would care. Oh. I don't think he would care. I don't think you can grab a hold of them.
You got to get on there, Tom.
Nah, I don't have to get on. What am I going to be? I do that everything here. Everybody writes me and they're just like, will you say happy birthday? And I'm like, well, if I talk about it now, everyone's going to ask me to do it.
And do you do it when you?
I'm not saying whether I do.
Well, it's clearly the answer is yes if you're not saying.
Oh, that was a miscalculation. Oh, boy. Now I'm going to just like. I know you said you don't do it a lot. There's going to be like a ton of emails saying like, just like birthday wishes, like subject line will just be birthday wishes. Hey, Tom, I know you said on the show that you didn't want to know, but, really would like it if you could, for my husband, just say happy birthday and call. I'll do it. I don't care. I'm not like Mike. Everything's got a dollar sign attached to it.
You just gave me an idea, right? Tom.
To do what?
Well, the recent batch of headshots, they forgot to delete my phone number from them. So there's the whole new batch going out with my phone number on it.
Yeah.
And, maybe I'll set aside an hour each evening and call it the Call Mike Hour, and we can set something up, you know. I'll talk to you.
Did you also realize, Mike, you can't stop it at any point? Just because you say it's the Call Mike Hour, they still have your number, and they can call whenever they want.
Well, that's what I said.
Until you don't have that phone number.
I start screening the calls.
Oh, so you're just going to pick up blindly.
Yeah, but surprisingly, nobody's called yet, which is, you know, a nice thing. You know,
is it that surprising?
I thought I'd get a few jokesters, you know?
What are the things, Mike?
Yeah.
Name some things I'm good at.
Things you're good at. You're good at being a radio host.
Yeah, thank you.
You're good at typing.
I'm good at typing.
I was trying to help Mike out.
We went off the cliff pretty fast on that one.
I was trying to help Mike out by motioning my fingers to indicate that you're a writer.
Writer, yeah, not a typist.
And Mike read that as a typist.
Good at the radio.
And you're good at typing.
Yeah.
Anything else? I'm good at eating. Is that another thing you want to say? Breathing?
I wouldn't say that. You're have very acute critical skills.
Okay. This is what I want to do right now. Nathan and I have had an argument going on for a while.
Okay.
And you tell me how we should handle this, Mike. Mm-hmm. I told Nathan, point blank, I'm great at air hockey.
Okay.
And I am great at it.
I bet you are.
Not good, great.
Yeah.
And Nathan said to me, I'll beat you.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if the conversation went exactly like that, but...
Well, he is from Canada.
I probably said, how good.
You got to give him that.
I don't have to give him anything. He's from Canada. That means he's good at air hockey.
Well, the air hockey board there, it's ice.
Mm-hmm. So it's actual ice. Mm-hmm. Well, you'd be playing on a U.S. table.
With the air.
With the air.
Well, because air hockey, you know, I've always known it to be kind of like just a game you play at the arcade or something.
Yeah.
And then when Tom said with such confidence, I'll beat you, like, that I asked how, like, what are you talking about? How good? And then Tom brought up, I watch
air hockey.
I watch videos on YouTube of the championship games and the whole tournaments, and then I emulate my style around that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then, and I actually, at first I was kind of thinking like, oh, then that you must be really good, but then I was thinking like, I could watch hundreds of hours of a sport and it doesn't translate to me being good at it, like watching the thing.
Yeah.
Sure.
I was actually thinking that this morning. Mm-hmm. So then it kind of gave me like a boost of confidence in terms of like, I don't know how much.
You don't know how much that translates.
Yeah.
To like studying something.
And then before I came here for the first time, I watched a championship game of air hockey.
Who'd you watch?
Whatever it was these two players, but it was shot over the shoulder of one guy. It's the first video that comes up. Do you know this is a famous game? It looks like it's 240p video.
2012? Corey Dubinsky versus Blade Brown?
Probably. Show me the image.
Where do you find an air hockey?
Yes. That's the one I watched. And
Mike, where do you think you'd find an air hockey video on YouTube? Search air hockey championship.
Is it still top? No, I'm saying where do you find a place to play it?
Arcades.
In arcades. They got air hockey.
Yeah?
Yeah, they are.
Okay. I thought cornhole took over as America's pastime.
I knew you'd get your jollies. Everything's got to have some double entendre with Mike. Mike, just listen to this.
I see it on ESPN.
This is how it goes. It's a table. It looks like Blake Brown is adjusting the camera.
This will be the one that I want to
upload. Jump into the action. So, you can see.
So, here's the thing. Let me just tell you. Yeah. Pause for a sec. The thing I realized... Like, I was kind of expecting to, like, it's like when you, like, you see ping pong. You see these guys who are, like, the best in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And they're, like, it's crazy. Like, they're playing, like, 20 feet back from the table.
Sure.
And everything's, like, a slam.
Yeah.
And I watch these guys, and they're, like, they're literally doing the same thing that I do. Like, there's no technique that's...
Sure,
advanced in any way.
You just can't see it. You just can't see it.
But there's nothing they did that I'm like, I would not be surprised. Maybe if I played four games with those guys, I could win one.
You could. No, they'd break your fingers. That's the first thing they would do. You'd come in and you'd be talking tough going into the arcade, right? And you'd see, like, Blade Brown or, you know, Corey Dubinsky hanging out.
and you'd be like, hey, I'm going to beat you at air hockey.
No, I wouldn't say it like that. I'd say,
I'll be Corey Demins.
Okay, okay. So I see you kind of throwing your
mallet
around,
yeah,
flipping it while having a conversation,
sure,
making the other puckers laugh or whatever they call them.
Yeah.
And then I go up to you and I'd be like, oh, are you the one of the championship air hockey players?
Who's asking?
I'm just wondering. My name's Nathan.
Mm-hmm. Wait, I know you.
Uh-huh.
You're the guy from the Nathan for You.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that coming back?
No. No, we ended it in 2017.
Because you did that final one, right? With that loser.
The old, well, I don't know if he was a loser. just like older
Probably
guy.
He was a Bill Gates impersonator.
Yeah, right? Bill Gates impersonator.
Kind of got to be a little bit of a loser.
And he went to kind of find his...
what's Santa up to? The Santa guy.
I don't know what he's doing. James Bailey.
And you really, that other guy didn't like you at all. That the detective. What's he up to?
I don't know. I have no idea. Actually, he's got a show, I guess, or that got canceled. But he did.
What about the guy who showed up in the tuxedo at the store to buy the TV?
That, I mean, I don't even know that guy's name.
Whose alligator was that?
We got it from like...
I'm in your head already handlers. Right now. Let's go to the table.
Oh, so you want to play.
This is gamesmanship.
Okay. So...
You don't know two things about me, brother. I know 100 things about you. I know you don't own an alligator now. You got one for filming purposes. I'm in your head. Let's puck it up.
Well, I guess I wasn't really prepared for that, it going that way, but I was, you know, that would be great if I could get into a game that easily where he offered.
$5,000 a point.
Let's start with 3 games, nothing, and then I'll decide.
I thought you were so good.
He could be setting you up, Tom.
I haven't even said a thing about, you're like mixing yourself with this guy.
Again.
In your role play.
I know 1,000 things about you, brother. I know you were mouthing off on the best show about how good you are at air hockey. I heard this already.
Oh, shit.
That's the first thing.
Oh. Keep it. Oh, really?
You curse all you want.
I'm sorry.
No, it's
I'm
fine.
Sorry.
You curse.
And that's the thing is, I hardly ever actually swear.
Oh, I know. That's one of the things I like about it.
And now I feel bad.
Well, you're
a clean
entertainer.
It's new freedom. It's new freedom.
It's new freedom. Mike, you're at the air hockey table, Corey Dubinsky.
What I'm saying is, like, these guys don't, I'm sure they're okay because they play a lot, but I don't know if they're necessarily in a different league than I would be.
Okay.
How long?
The basic.
How do you hold a mallet?
Well, we've talked about this, so I know you're. I hold it at the top, the handle,
uh-huh.
And I know you
lost
it. Really, those guys hold the handle.
No, they don't.
Look at the guy closest to the camera.
Look at this guy's hand right here.
Where? That guy's holding the handle.
Who? Blade Brown?
I don't know the who's who. Blade Brown?
Yeah.
How long did the volleys go? I'm not going to
watch
that video.
Also, this video is like the world championship.
Yeah.
And it's shot on like a security camera. And there's one guy sitting in the audience watching.
That's the commissioner.
There's clearly other people in the room and no one's paying attention.
Yeah, well.
Like, the world championships are played at an arcade that other people are just playing normal air hockey games and don't know who these people are.
Like, hey, what's going on over there? What's going on? It's the world championship
of air hockey.
You would assume that, like it's two friends, like, joking, like oh, it's the world championship. No, this is literally the world championship of air hockey. The world, who are the two best players in the world are here.
I'm now terrified one of these guys is really going to listen to this and shoot me.
Yeah.
Tom,
Blade Brown. or Corey Dubinsky. What's that, Mike?
How long do the volleys go? I'm not going to watch that video, but do they go?
Well, where you get somewhere better to be?
Yeah, I do.
I know what you're up to. You know, would you watch Irishman again?
I'm going to twiddle my thumbs. But anyway, yeah. How long do the volleys go? Do they go long or is it like still short?
They go back and forth. It's a game of endurance, Mike.
Okay.
The video looks no different than watching any two people play this world championship.
That's not true at all.
Tom, yeah. Show me another one where someone's doing something different or better. Tell me one of the techniques they're using that's different than
average. Well, I'll walk you through some of this right now. See. Okay. Look at that. He pulled the puck back and he drilled it.
I do that too.
And then went hard.
I can do that.
Okay, now Blade Brown has it. He's playing defense. Look at that defense. Trap the puck. He's going up to the line.
His mallet's way out.
Look, he took a shot. Corey Dubinsky up. Maybe I'll be an announcer for this. We got a real barn burning for tonight. We got Blade Brown and Corey Dubinsky in the championship game. Blade Brown riding the puck right up to the line. He pulls it back. It's a rebound. Direct shot at the goal. Goes a little wide right. Blade Brown pulling the puck back. Shoots it in. Corey Dubinsky lunging forward to the line. Blade Brown controlling. Sizing up the opponent. Slowing the puck down. Direct shot. Dubinsky has the puck.
All right. He almost scored on himself right there.
I will say that this is a great way to imagine a YouTube video.
Here's the thing. I would picture at least, here's what I was picturing.
Yeah.
That they'd at least be able to get it in, like, to hit the goal opening area almost every time. But it seems like it bounces around. They can't even.
All right, look, admittedly, at first look, it seems like the line between being okay at air hockey and being in the world championship tournament seems pretty narrow. I'll concede that. It does not seem like a world of difference. Like if you were filming like someone shooting a basketball at like a middle school and then just like Steph Curry shooting like shots, you'd know the difference between them.
Yes. Like if you told me, here, watch this video, these are the two worst people in the world at air hockey, I'd be like, oh yeah.
So you actually think the line between, if the video said at the bottom, world's worst air hockey players, Corey Dubinsky versus Blade Brown, 2012 air hockey worst championship, not world championship, you'd be like, yeah, no, that makes sense. What's more upsetting to you? Do you feel like this viewer count of 363,000 views in 8 years, is that high or low to you?
If that's the broadcast of the world championship, I mean, I would say that probably reflects accurately what I would expect, even if it was a professional bigger thing.
Sure. So to you, it's like for them, it's just like, hey, the world championship is on YouTube. It's like, what? It's streaming on YouTube? It's like, nah, we'll put it up at some point. Like, it would be just like if you're like, hey, when's the World Series happen? It's like, I don't know. When I get home, I'll upload it.
Yeah.
For you to check out.
Yeah.
Well, I say this, though. First of all, point one, I'm great at air hockey.
That's great. I mean, honestly. I would not be surprised if one of us could make it to the World Championships this year.
Jeez, you're right there?
Yeah, I'm good. Was there ever
the final 10 minutes of The Irishman?
Was there ever a second championship?
I thought it was Joe Pesci in The Irishman for a second. How'd you like that scene when he goes,
This is the good grape juice.
Oh, that was good.
And he's like, I can't eat the bread so much. I sound like I'm doing Crank Yankers. I sound like, have you done a voice on Crank Yankers, Nathan?
No.
No?
Have you?
No, they don't want me
to do that. Why?
I don't know. You ask them.
Basically.
I could do it.
Yeah, I mean.
I could do it. Hello? Well, I wouldn't be saying hello. They say hello.
Hello? I'll be a person.
Okay, here we go. Okay, hold on.
Hi, Johnny's Pizza.
I just want to know if you got the pizza pies.
Yes, we have pizza pies. Are you okay?
Do you have the pizza pies?
We do. Would you like to order a pizza?
We got it. Let's move on.
Okay.
All right. Let's just send the MP3 of that over to set. We got some puppets. We'll start matching it up. We'll start lining it up. Let's make sure we got it sync. Just imagine you're because it's all these businesses are in Las Vegas, because that's like a place where you can legally prank phone call
people. Right.
And so I'm at home. I'm like working at, like you said, like a pizza place or a dry cleaner. Mm. And then suddenly I have to deal with Ike Barinholtz is prank phone calling me.
I mean, it's quite an honor, actually.
Okay. Well, I just feel like that,
to be pranked by Ike.
Feel like, well, that should be its own show, Pranked by Ike. Right?
We should
walk that right down the hall. Yeah. Here. We're at Earwolf. We're also here at the esteemed Earwolf Studios. How old was he in the movie?
24.
24.
24 years old. Pesci's calling him kid, and I was like, what is happening?
Yeah.
Hey, kid. The man's 48 years old.
My truck, it stalled. check the timing chain there. Check the timing chain. These are, you know, just two guys in their early 20s hanging out in the parking lot of a Stuckey's? Yeah. Where were they?
Stuckey's, yeah. Like, yeah.
Let me just say, because one of the guys in that video looks very strong. I do not think they look like the worst players in the world. I just want to be clear, that was a joke.
Sure.
They do seem good at air hockey.
Oh, okay.
And I just want to, you know, I'm just saying I don't know the levels of how high it goes, and I was expecting, but I, you know, those guys, they do look like they know how to play.
One thing I will say to make your case, to support your case, Nathan, is that usually, like, if I was at the NBA finals, for example, I don't think they would have just like football stuff over like 5 feet away from the court. It wouldn't just be like, hey, if you feel like playing football, we got that over here too. But for the air hockey championship, you see a pool table in the background, and an asteroids machine. It's just like other activities are available.
Isn't someone playing air hockey right next to it?
there's
kids playing.
Yeah,
right?
And they're just like, yeah, okay, maybe that's less. Maybe it's less prestigious.
The main thing is, you think that you could beat me, no problem.
Oh, yeah, I know I could beat you with no problem.
And I think maybe, but I don't think no problem. And I don't think, like, we've never played, but no. I would be curious.
Yeah, because this has been going on for a while, this argument about who could be better at air hockey. And I'm digging in on it. Mike?
Yeah.
Who do you think would win, me versus Nathan? I know who you're going to say. You're going to say Nathan because
he's from,
you
he's,
got,
he's from Canada.
No. Like,
Canada,
truth,
and,
it's
Canada and hockey.
Thing.
You know, they go together. Like Canada.
Canada and air hockey go together.
Yeah.
No, you know why? I know why you're going to side with Nathan, Mike.
It's in their blood.
No, I know why you are. It's in their blood. All right, take it easy. What are you in? Charlottesville? Going on a march around a tiki torch? It's in their blood?
Yeah.
Yeah, hate monger?
I'm talking about hockey.
No, this is why you're going to do it. And this is going to hurt to say this. It hurts me to say this, Mike.
Okay.
You got everything you can get from me. You got what you can get from me. Nathan's uncharted territory. Right? Maybe this guy could help you move some calendars. Could maybe, right?
Yeah.
You got what you can get from me.
Expanding the brand. That's what I'm all about.
You squeeze this lemon dry, right?
No, I don't. I don't think. I think. I don't think it's over yet, Tom.
Oh, so you're not saying, you didn't say, no, I don't see you that way at all, Tom.
Just a new avenue.
We're friends. No, instead of saying that, you're like, nah, it's not over yet. I could still get a little more out of you.
We're talking business here.
Yeah, you're squeezing me like a rag at Masses. Like you're at Masses squeezing that bar rag.
Should we take a call?
Let's take a call. Pat.
You're on with line two.
Line two, what's up?
Hello?
Hello?
Hey.
All right. This is...
Hello?
Hello. Where are you calling from? Space Shuttle?
Pasadena.
Pasadena is close.
Say that again?
Never mind. Who's this?
This is Brian from Pasadena.
Brian! From Pasadena. Hey. What's up, Brian?
Nothing much. Just, calling in. There's no subject, right? I don't know.
Oh, no, we're just talking about air hockey. I'm here with Nathan Fielder. You know Nathan Fielder?
I've heard of him. My brother's a big fan. I think he saw him live, but I haven't taken in any of his content.
Oh, I wish I was you. Oh, I wish I was you to watch for the first time. Isn't that the most annoying thing anybody's? Oh, I'm so envious of you. You haven't seen it yet. Oh, you watch it for the first time. I'm so
jealous.
You've
got to let me be there the first time you watch that because I just want to see your reaction.
Oh, I just want to watch you watch it. I feel bad. I feel bad recommending like literally anything because then people would be, I don't like that. I'm so sorry.
Why do you think you haven't been able to check it out yet, Brian?
I just, I don't know. I just tend to watch all my favorite movies over and over again.
Like what? What's your favorite movie?
My favorite movie of all time is E.T. the Extraterrestrial.
Yeah. Can't get enough of it.
I just can't. And then, Star Wars Trilogy, Back to the Future Trilogy.
Sure.
And, yeah.
What if all your favorite characters were in one place? Right? E.T., Doc Brown.
Yeah.
Chewbacca.
That would be interesting. That'd be, Be like,
You should check out Nathan Fielder. It's the best television show of the last 20 years. No joke. Nathan,
Whoa.
What?
What about The Mandalorian? Have you seen that?
Yeah, I say there's four episodes of it. I'll go with Nate. I'm going to go with Nathan for you on this one.
Okay.
No pressure to, it might not.
Listen, I'll check it out when I have time, okay?
It might not be your thing.
Hang up. Tude, I don't like the tude. I don't like
you crying. I was just kidding.
It's okay.
But don't hang up.
I didn't mean it. I didn't mean it. I was just messing around.
So what made you call?
Oh, I saw your tweet about Lil Bub, and I just wanted to...
Lil Bub passed away. Lil Bub would call the show, and we're very sorry to hear the celebrity cat Lil Bub died a couple days ago.
Yeah.
I saw Lil Bub live. She brought a lot of joy to a lot of people, and Mike was Lil Bub's pal.
Dude.
And we... send our condolences.
Yeah, it was sad, but I mean, what's cool is like she can still raise money, for homeless pets, like they've been doing, and probably even more so now that people are trying to remember her and stuff. And
okay. Well, thank you for the call.
Sure. See you later.
Okay, bye. All right, let's take another call, please.
You're on line three.
Hello.
Hi, this is Emily.
Emily, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good. I'm here with Nathan Fielder.
Hi, Emily. Nathan. How are you?
Do you like Nathan?
Yeah, I like his show.
What's your favorite episode?
I like the antique store one. I love antiquing, and every time I go into a store, now I'm paranoid about knocking things over because of him.
Are you sure is that your show?
Yeah, we did one there.
I saw a boar rat did that.
Yeah, I guess we kind of did the same thing, yeah.
Did you ever see the one, Emily, when Nathan was hanging out with the loser who did...
I don't know. He's a...
Bill Gates impersonator.
Emily, what...
Emily?
Yeah. What were you asking? Sorry.
Never mind. Go ahead with what you were going to say.
Well, I wanted to call in. My husband likes your show a lot and was listening to this really old episode. And he called me in and asked me, have I ever heard of Cece's Pizza? Because apparently you had a really bad experience at one.
Yeah, this pizza chain, Cece's Pizza. Where?
I worked at one.
Well, I'm going to ask you a question. Let me just say, yeah. I kept seeing commercials for Cece's Pizza. I was like, what's this place, Cece's Pizza? Pizza buffet place? Then finally, I'm in North Carolina, and I see a Cece's Pizza for the first time. And I'm like, well, I got to check this out. And I go there. It's the worst, absolute worst pizza I ever had. Then finally, years later, one shows up in New Jersey. I'm just like, I think I got to go back to Cece's and see what the deal is. Even worse than it was in North Carolina.
Really? It's,
the only time I've had pizza worse than that is in Toronto.
Huh, Everywhere
in Toronto has not good pizza. Is that fair to say, Nathan?
Everywhere.
Toronto's not a good city for pizza.
Sure.
It's not.
Yeah, okay.
It's not their specialty.
What's a good city for pizza?
Not Toronto.
New York?
Yeah.
New York.
New York has good pizza. There's good pizza out here. There's pizza.
Right.
Just not Toronto.
What about Taroni?
What's that? That's the pizza place? I ate at Pizza.
They have one out here too.
Okay. Oh, I ate there. Yeah, but that was like supposed to be the best of the city. And I was like, all right, I get it.
I mean, I normally get pasta.
Sure. Yeah. It was the
Emily, what city are you in?
I'm in Boston. We have okay pizza.
You guys have, you're famous for lobster.
And
we are. We have some good lobster pizza that's a mashup people are into.
Lobster pizza? Tell me more about that.
Yeah, well, it's bougie and it's like $40, but it's good.
$40 pizza.
I know.
And is it just a lobster on it or it's just a lobster meat?
They put the lobster meat on it, like not like an entire, like you don't crack open a lobster on top of a pizza. That would be a little ridiculous.
You just don't drop a lobster on top of a pizza?
No, you're not doing that.
Now, who do you think is going to win if I play, when? I'm going to say when I play Nathan in air hockey, Emily.
Huh. I could see Nathan winning. He's got the sharp focus.
He's got the sharp focus.
Thank you. Mike loves that so much.
Mike loves anything that brings me down.
Because Tom seems like he could... He seems like more hazy, or like he could like just kind of space out.
Like,
are
you thinking I'm too much of a hothead?
I don't think you're a hothead. I think Nathan can really.
You kind of do, by the way you just said that. You're like, well, I don't think you're a hothead.
Who would you say, Emily, just from like how we sound and how we look, it would be more athletic, do you think?
Probably Tom. Sorry.
Love it.
I'm not talking about donut eating competitions.
Oh. What's that supposed to be? That's charming.
Got a laugh from Emily.
I'm not talking. And Mike.
And Mike.
Mike loves
this is a
that.
Full.
Oh, yeah. You're bringing the
everyone.
House. And Devin. Devin's love. Everybody's loving it. I can laugh, too. Ha, ha, ha.
It's not a real laugh,
whole donut
Tom.
Competitions. Ha, ha, ha. Give me another glazed. Ha, ha, ha. I can laugh at myself. Ha, ha. Yeah, donut competition. I'm going to.
Like, see, now I'm in your head, man. Now I'm in your head.
That's fair. Welcome. Welcome to hell. How's it feel? How's it feel in here? Right? Come on in.
I left. I just looked quickly and left. So I'm not in there now. Okay.
Well, you can come back anytime you want.
I will if I want another donut.
Another head donut?
Yeah, because you eat so many that
or I'm just
yeah,
thinking
they,
about
they,
them.
They store and they digest in the head, in the brain too.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Now you are getting to me. I'm pretty flustered with this trash talk. That my apparently I eat so many donuts, some of them so most of them digest naturally. Except I eat so many that I guess a few just go up instead of down.
Yeah.
And just kind of like.
Because there's not enough space.
They get lodged. They get lodged in my head. I gotta say, that might be the meanest thing anyone's ever said to me.
Tom, don't say that.
No, no, no. It's good. I'm just gonna save it for the table, Tom. Save it for the table. I'm gonna break your fingers on the air hockey table. I'm gonna drill your hand.
I was just joking about the.
Then
donuts.
You're not gonna be able to ever do Nathan for you again with your. Broken hand.
Well, I'm not doing. You know, we ended the show.
Yeah, with that final episode.
Oh, how do you break someone's hand? Like hand?
You just drill a puck. I'm gonna break your fingers. Will you hold the mallet? First of all, no topping when we play the game. No topping.
What's that?
Devin, can you please? No
yeah, it's unbelievable.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Why don't you tell them what topping is?
Is that? Putting the mallet on top of the puck and yeah.
Why? What's that illegal?
Yeah. It's the most illegal move. It'd be like if I was playing baseball and I instead of like batting, I decided to just run up to the pitcher's mound and hit the pitcher with the bat.
That's what topping
would be like. That's the baseball equivalent.
Is that true?
So what should we do here? What should we do here? 50 grand a point?
The puck cannot be topped. Wow, there are rules. So, okay, no topping. Fine. The puck cannot be topped.
No. Can't control the puck that way. You got to control the puck with a flat mallet.
Do you know that after each game you have to switch sides?
Mm-hmm.
Have you found a table, Tom?
Not yet. No, I'm issuing the challenge right now.
Okay. The puck may be struck by any part of the mallet.
Mm-hmm.
Each player may take one timeout per game. The timeout may be no longer than 10 seconds. This is the official rules.
So
that's rule number 14.
Oh, hey, I'm going to take my 10-second break now. I'm calling timeout. Okay. 10, 9, 8... 7. Who should be the judge on this?
Should we get one of those guys?
Get Blade Brown?
Yeah.
Or Corey Dubinsky?
Yeah, let's reach out. If any listener of the show know... Actually,
yeah.
Hold on. I don't want them to listen to this, but if any listener...
Oh, I want them to listen because I want them to hear you say that they could just be the worst.
But if they listen, they have to listen to the whole episode where I retracted that.
Sure.
If anyone knows those guys, it would be great to we could get a local person. We don't have to.
Yeah, we should get Devin.
Yeah. We need someone who knows these rules though.
A new topping.
Context clues.
Well, let's quiz Devin on air hockey rules.
Oh boy, here we go.
There's fouls too.
Yeah. Can't cross the line, can't cross the midway line.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Mallet can't go across the line. Is that a rule, Nathan?
I don't see that, but... love this timeout. There's like four rules about the timeout.
Mm-hmm.
Only you can only exercise the timeout when puck is in his or her possession.
Sure,
or not
I can't call a timeout when you've got the puck.
A player must make a clear indication of the timeout so the referee understands the player's intention.
Okay.
So you can't do an ambiguous signal.
I said timeout!
Yeah, it has to be clear.
I said timeout!
Do you know this rule? When a player is scored upon, he or she will have 10 seconds to remove the puck from the goal and place it in play. The 10 seconds start as soon as the puck has fallen completely through the goal and is available for the player to place in play. The rule is suspended during the course of a timeout.
That makes sense.
So if you don't take it out in 10 seconds,
you are...
what happens?
It's a foul.
Yeah, foul. Yeah.
And what happens at the foul?
I think you lose 5 of your 10-second timeout. No, I would say that makes sense. I don't know if that was a rule. It makes sense, though. And I'll also say, air hockey, if anybody needed proof of why this is the greatest sport, what other sport is there where you win the game and then the puck, you have to put money back in the thing to get the puck back out?
Foosball?
Imagine in basketball if you shot the game-winning shot and then the ball just stayed in the net and you had to, like, feed some quarters into it to get it to come back out again.
I think foosball is similar.
Foosball. Yeah, keep playing your foosball, Mike. I'm pretty good at foosball. I'm great at air hockey. Foosball is a coin flip if I'm playing. Air hockey, you bet the farm on me at an air hockey table.
Is Emily still on the phone?
No.
I'm still here. I don't know much about air hockey. I'm sorry, I can't contribute much there.
Now, Emily.
What were you doing? Well, I totally forgot. I'm so sorry. What were you doing? What?
Oh, I was just hanging out. Don't worry.
What should we do with this game, right? What should we do? Should we do it? Should it just be, should we just do it in secret?
No, right? We should do it. Like we should Creed? Do it live.
We should do it live.
Because I don't want doing it in secret than you coming on your show without me knowing and saying you won.
Well, when you can take it on your show, too.
I don't have a show.
You could do it on the thing. You just get the loser from the Bill Gates impersonator back again. And you say, oh, you're looking for someone else now?
And you're saying my donut jokes are mean. Look at this.
People on Twitter are outraged at the donut jokes, though.
No.
I was a fan. No longer. Low blow, Nathan. Scrolling through here.
Let me also...
Nathan's mad because Tom is making fun of the loser from the final episode. What's up with the loser? No, it's just like... It's actually trending. Nathan for you loser is trending. Anybody know what happened to the loser from the final episode? I don't know why. I think that guy seems perfectly fine.
Well, I don't know if he's perfectly fine.
I know you're great friends with
him. I wouldn't say he's perfectly fine.
Okay.
I just think the word loser is a little... Well, I guess you can find someone... I mean, you know more words than me, so maybe it is.
Sure, yeah.
I should say just about the donut thing, too.
Yeah, what's that?
I said you'd, like, be in a donut-eating competition.
Sure.
And, you know, that's different than someone who just eats donuts a lot. Because, like, mm-hmm. you know the guy who wins the hot dog competition? He's, like, a fit guy.
Yeah.
So there's a – I could have meant that as a compliment.
Oh, no, I took it as a compliment. Don't worry. How could I not take it as a compliment that I eat so many donuts that they start to just accumulate in my head?
because my normal digestive system has no room for them anymore.
But in the course of competition.
Sure.
I'm not saying you're some slob that goes and eats donuts every day, like after work, and just shoves them in your mouth. You're like, you're there and you're winning.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't worry.
I took it. I understood the spirit that you meant it in. I understood that. It was a tribute. It was loving what you said.
Okay, good.
Uh-huh. So we're going to have to – this is going to have to get settled in public now, apparently, in Los Angeles. We're going to have to find an air hockey table.
We have to find the right mall.
We have to find the right mall. So I would say this. If you know of an air hockey table that would work, let me know. If you know
an air hockey ref,
because I think you're, because the other thing, Devin, you're out.
That's fair.
Because I'll win, and then Nathan will just be like, oh, you were Tom's.
Yeah, you're Tom's guy.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
Yeah, I get it.
Unless you want to get one of your people, like I'll have Devin. And yeah, I mean, if you want to get like, I don't know, like the loser from the final episode, he could show up in his Bill Gates outfit and maybe have like a Microsoft Surface that he could kind of keep score on.
And maybe you could bring one of your donut pals.
I'll do it if you'll fly me out, Tom.
Oh, I'll fly you out. Go to the airport. Figure out which airline has your ticket.
Okay.
Go up to each window and ask.
We'll find the tournament, a guy who knows all like 18 rules.
Yeah. And should this be like for profit?
You want to put money on it?
No, maybe we make sure, maybe it's for charity, right?
Oh, versus for profit, for us to profit,
yeah, we
somehow
don't profit
from some
on it.
Outside
yeah.
sponsor?
No, we should do it so that charity.
Should there be a sponsor?
Sure. Who could sponsor it? Earwolf? Mm-hmm. Right.
Maybe we could find
Earwolf Presents.
Yeah, or Canada Dry.
Canada Dry. Netflix, home of the Irishman, yeah. Presents. The Universe Championship. Right. We'll just say it's like.
We should have our game at that table next to the real championship game.
Yeah.
While they're doing theirs.
And there's more people watching our our match than them just being like, hey, you know, we're kind of playing the world championship right now. Anybody want to watch us play? I'd be like, no, it's the guy from the best show is playing the guy from Nathan for You, and we want to watch that. And then maybe afterwards we do a donut eating competition.
Well, I'm not competing in that because I can't go up against you.
Well, what's a thing that you think you've got locked down?
That I've got over you?
Yeah.
What am I better at you?
Yeah.
Magic?
Magic.
Yeah.
The Gathering? Like
no.
The card game?
No.
Okay. Because I would say, yes, you are better at Magic the Gathering than
no, I'm not. I don't know that.
Why? Pokemon? Is that one of your things? You're going to run around and try to look for Squirtle?
I could do Magic better than you. I mean,
like what? What's a way to gauge Magic?
Like I could, like, I guess it would be like we'd show a trick to a stranger and whoever is more impressive.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Whoever wows the person better.
All right. So are we putting together some sort of decathlon now where we're going to come up with things that we're competing?
You're saying you think you could beat me at Magic.
If I had 3 days, I could learn to be better at Magic than you.
Okay. Well, now you are 100% wrong.
Well, I've got to just contact and figure out some magic friends or something, and they could just show me like some thing where you like pull a cape and then like there's like a fire and then you pull it back and it's gone or whatever. Is that like magic?
No. Magic is like card effects, card
sure,
illusions.
Magic the Gathering.
No, it's like a deck of cards.
Yeah, like and each one is like this is a wizard spell.
No, it's like you know magic, you know who like David Copperfield or
sure.
like David Blaine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or David Wayne.
The three greatest David magicians ever. So, yeah, no, I know what magic is. I used to go on this magic. The thing when I mentioned your face being on fire is actually a reference to a thing. I used to go on this magic board, and I would like ask questions and be like, "Hey, I want to do a trick, and the trick is going to be, I'm on stage and I pull the cape in front of my face and I pull it back and my face is on fire. Then I pull the cape away and I pull it back and it's out again. How can I do this trick?" And people were like, "Do not do this." This is dangerous. Like, it was just like the most.
What magic board is this?
It was a long time ago. It was some magic, like, message board or something.
Well, the community has had to deal with people like you for years.
Sure.
Yeah. You know, I mean,
skeptics.
Losers who kind of try to infiltrate just to make fun.
Sure. No. Look, I was having fun with them. I wasn't making fun. I was having fun with them. It's a little different.
What's the difference?
Making fun is when you get Robert Wall to do a mock Arliss video. Having fun is when you go on Jimmy Kimmel and you throw a football through pane glass, see who could break more windows with a football.
Yeah, those are two great examples.
Making fun versus having fun. I like to have fun.
I like to have fun, too.
These are my favorite things. Air hockey.
Uh-huh.
Donut eating competitions.
Uh-huh.
Having fun. Watching old episodes of Nathan For You. My four favorite things to do.
Emily, are you still there?
No, she's not.
Yeah, I'm here.
Emily, what is something that you think you could definitely beat Tom at?
I can make precisely two kinds of balloon animals.
You can make how many?
Two.
Can you beat that?
Are they good?
A dog, yes, and a sword.
And a sword. And can you do that, Tom?
A sword?
Can you make anything on a balloon?
If I had 40 minutes, I could do three.
Okay.
If I like met with somebody who did balloon animals,
so you're basically saying anyone who can do something better, you're saying if I trained at that for the appropriate amount of time,
so you're saying the appropriate amount of time is only 40 minutes to get good at balloon animals.
I'm sure balloon animals.
What's your signature magic trick then?
Me?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't do it much anymore, but like now, my go-to now is I'll just make a thing of chapstick disappear
okay.
for the person.
Yeah, I can do that.
That's pretty impressive.
Thank you. Uh-huh. And I do it like, you know, because I'm not doing magic all the time, mm-hmm. people are like even more surprised by it.
I mean, you just put it under your thumb.
No, that's not
and
how
you just
it's done.
Like,
no.
And you just like do a misdirect.
No.
Where I'd be just like, here, give me a tube of chapstick.
Grab a Sharpie. There's a Sharpie right there. Oh.
What's that?
Too big. I'm not.
I can do with this.
Yeah, you go.
Got a pen. Look at the pen. Right?
No.
It's gone.
Yeah, it's not. You didn't even do anything. You just put it under your arm.
No, it's not in my hands. I just did that. That's pretty good. You don't know where the pen is.
Well.
Should we at least let Emily off the line? Like, she probably doesn't want to hang out.
All right.
Because she definitely doesn't.
I mean,
Emily,
competition sounds
Emily.
Really fun, but yeah, you're fine.
Say goodbye. Hang up on Emily, please. Thank you for the call.
Thanks, Emily.
Bye. Good night.
Goodbye.
Bye. So look, we're going to do this air hockey thing. Maybe we'll do a figure charity out, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what would be a good charity to do? Help losers find old girlfriends. Good charity.
We need to pick a charity and then pick a way that it's going to generate money to actually give to the charity.
Yeah. Well, I'll right off the top, I'll put $140,000 down on the table for whatever the charity is.
Okay. Yeah. so that'll be great because they'll get 140 and that's a lot.
No, we'll figure something. I'm I'm serious about this. I'm serious.
Yeah, yeah, I am too. I mean, we have to play because I feel like this is not going to, you know, verbally saying you're better than someone can only go on for so long.
Really? I think I could keep this going for pretty much till the end of time.
But it has to be like, what, three games?
Three games.
Three or seven? Or 15?
Or 23. We might as well just keep going. Call it the Michael Jordan Classic. And just because we played 23 games, it's like nothing. Michael Jordan's just like, somebody comes like, hey, Mr. Jordan, you know about this? You doing some air hockey tournament or something? And he'll be like, what? And we'll make it sponsored by Hanes Briefs, right?
Like we use his name to get the money from Hanes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We contact them and go, hey, we're just calling. We're calling from the Michael Jordan air hockey champion. Michael Jordan Invitational? What would you call it? Commemorative?
Yeah, invitation.
The Michael Jordan Invitational.
Invitational.
Yeah. So, Mike, let's just say, let me get a reading of that room there. Who's going to win this thing? I know Pat.
I'll stick with Nathan.
Oh, Mike sticks with Nathan. Come on, Pat. Pat, please. Now, be honest, though. Whoever you think is going to win, Pat.
Well, I think I'm the only person here who's actually played Tom in air hockey, so I'm going with Tom because
I was
scared.
It was scary. I'll say this, Pat. This is one of those moments where it's actually. I'm glad we're talking about this, and I'm embarrassed that we're talking about this. I played Pat in air hockey a couple years ago, and the look on Pat's face when I was way too into it.
Yeah, that's what I was scared of. Yes,
had like a full on. Is bloodlust too harsh of a term?
No, because I can't think of anything worse than blood, except maybe like murder lust. I don't know.
No, you were. I'll say this: the look on your face when I played you in air hockey, you looked really unhappy with me.
I was worried. I was like, okay. Tom, not only is he good at air hockey, but he is, now I know this to be true, extremely competitive.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was shaken. And I don't think I said anything on the ride home.
The ride home. Yeah. I was proud and embarrassed of that moment. Because I said to myself, I just beat a great friend of mine, Pat. I humiliated him at an air hockey table.
Well, what the scores like?
Oh, they were not even, Mike, it was humiliating.
There was two games, and I thought the first one was him messing around. So the second one, I was like, okay, I want to go home.
What was the score?
I don't remember. I'm sure.
Tom's got it. Memorized.
What
are the scores, Tom?
Look, to be fair, Pat, it was not. These were not great matches. This was not your crowning achievement on that night. And am I embarrassed by this? Yeah, yeah.
The emotional.
Do I like that I have this in me? No, I don't. Do I like it? No, I don't. Do I respect it? You bet I do. I'm happy that I have that burning fire in me.
I think you like it a little.
So there's a lot of rules. So I really think we should get a real ref that actually knows what they're talking about, because there is, like, taunting another player is a violation.
Yeah.
And you seem to have a tendency to go in that direction pretty aggressively.
Okay, well,
and
let's review.
I think there's a good chance.
I'll forfeit.
Yeah, you won't even make it through.
I'll be disqualified.
You'll be disqualified at some point during the game.
Okay, so tell me right now what falls under the bounds of taunting or harassing. If I go.
Well, actions that endanger spectators. Okay.
endanger spectators.
Which you're capable of.
Which is also not a problem in an air hockey tournament, the idea of a spectator.
Actions that discredit the sport.
So anything that just diminishes air hockey as a whole. Okay.
So we've both probably been...
No, we both would be...
Disqualified from official play. Taunting of another player includes, but not limited to, cursing your opponent, verbally defaming them, or making obscene gestures.
Okay. So if I'm playing and I drill it, like, right down the gullet, and you're just like... And I just go... To myself.
Yeah.
Was that taunting?
Depends how it's taken,
okay.
I guess.
Well, you tell me how you're going to take it.
Yeah.
Well, if you kept doing it like that, then I would take it as a taunt. Intentional or excessive distracting noise is okay. Actually... So that if you made that noise over and over, that would be a problem.
Sure.
Yeah, or whatever. If the referee feels... A player has committed excessive unsportsmanlike conduct.
Mm-hmm.
The referee may issue several conduct warnings.
Oh, so these are just completely meaningless.
If a referee initiates enough conduct warnings, it's a forfeiture of the game.
Okay. It doesn't say how many, though. Just enough.
No, it says at the top, 4 fouls.
Okay. Oh, I can do that. I'll just do it twice. So if I'm just like, yeah. Like after I drill it. What if I'm playing the thing and I'm like, oh, here we go, get ready. Start counting down from 10 to 9. I'm going to score in 10 seconds. Start the countdown. 10, 9, is that taunting? 8, 7, I go, yeah.
Also, realize in the player rights section, the game might not be over even once it's over because there's an appeal process.
So you're just going to tie this whole thing up in red tape? You're just going to be like, I hereby file a formal appeal. Then what's going to happen? Blade Brown's going to fly in to, like, review the case?
No, it's...
Corey Dubinsky and Blade Brown, what are you guys doing
here? The appeal goes to the head referees in an official air hockey competition. So it's... There's official air hockey is the name.
Well, I gotta just say, I will abide by all the rules.
Uh huh.
I'll abide by all of them. I can follow.
USAA, U.S. Air Hockey Association.
Yeah, I'll follow the letter of the law on this.
Great.
Because I'm gonna win the way a champion wins, with class and focus. And my goal is to win that match. And then if there's a little kid like an Aubrey or some similar child, and they say, great match, Tom, right? And I'm like, thanks. And then are you going to do that? You're making a face at me. I feel like you're taunting me right now.
No, I'm stretching my jaw.
Okay, all right. Then they'll say, can I have your mallet? And I'll say, I can't. Property to this arcade. I really wish I could give you the mallet, kid. And then I'll just say, you know, take the mallet. I'll pay the $15 for a new one. And then that'll be that. Can I wear a t-shirt with, like, taunting phrases on it?
You know, you could take whatever risks you want.
Uh-huh. What if I had a shirt that said, Nathan for you, try Nathan for nobody.
I'd probably...
Would you file in a... Would you complain to the ref?
I'd see how I felt at the end of the game.
What if it just said...
I'd probably accept that.
What if it said, ask me about winning the air hockey championship. Ask Nathan about the loser... Who dresses up like Bill Gates.
I feel like that would fall squarely within unsportsmanlike conduct.
Okay, fair. Look, I'm not saying I'm going to do that. I just want to know. What if it said...
I thought your show ended at 8.
Well, we're ending it now.
Oh, okay.
We already went way over.
Oh, shoot.
This compelling air hockey discussion. 2.5 hours of talking about air hockey. Mike?
Yeah.
I'm going to wrap it up.
Okay.
Seriously, though, I'm issuing a thing to everybody on the internet. Help. I want an air hockey table in Los Angeles. I want a referee. I want a sponsorship. What if we get, like, LaCroix sponsor it, right?
I was actually going to suggest that.
LaCroix and Hanes present, right? LaCroix, Hanes, and Earwolf present the Michael Jordan Invitational. And it's just we just get a picture of him playing air hockey.
I think the Glendale Galleria has a table.
Oh, look out. That's nearby where I saw the Irishman at that dine-in theater. It's also great when they do that, when the server behind me kept bumping my chair. And I was just like, I just wanted to go, if you bump my chair one more time, you know, the side scoot down the row? You got to walk flush. If you're walking, is this a fashion show? You're walking just completely straight. You're at, people are trying to watch a movie and you're just like bumping my chair every time. I'm trying to concentrate on what flavor ice cream Jimmy Hoffa ordered in the 9th ice cream scene in this movie. Well, you know, I got to get some ice cream here. Look, I'm trying to figure out what kind of ice cream I want to order. Me and Peggy are going to have ice cream. He's very charming. And I really like the scene when he picked out his casket with Action Bronson. I thought that was some inventive casting. Who'd you like better in the movie, Action Bronson or Sebastian Maniscalco?
Can you show me faces?
Action Bronson. Remember him, Mike?
I didn't really. No, I don't know that name. Is that a character's name or is that his real name?
This guy was selling the caskets.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He was
I remember
good.
The character.
Yeah. Well, he's a hip hop guy, Mike.
Oh, okay.
And I know you don't like that.
That makes sense.
Yeah. And then Sebastian Maniscalco. All right, I'm ending the show. I'm not going to just show pictures of Sebastian Maniscalco all night. Everybody, thank you for listening. Get back to me on Twitter with air hockey info because I formally issue a challenge to you right now, Nathan Fielder. Will you play me in 3 games of air hockey to see who is the better air hockey player? It's a formal challenge.
I accept.
Okay. All right. It's on. Devin?
Yes.
Thank you so much for everything tonight. You're the best.
My pleasure.
Mike?
Yes.
Thank you for everything tonight. You're the best.
You're welcome, Tom.
Pat?
Yes.
Thank you for everything tonight. You're the best.
No problem. You're the best.
Oh, you're sweet to say that. That makes you truly the best. If I had a chocolate factory, Pat, I would have just given it to you right now because you just passed the test. You just passed the test. Nathan, thanks for coming on the show.
And thanks for having me, Tom. You're the best.
Oh, Tom.
Yeah, what's that, Pat?
Martin actually has something I was going to plug for him.
Yeah,
he didn't ask me to, but for anyone listening, Martin does the website, thebestshow.net, and helps us out with so many things tech-wise on the show, and he's being part of a benefit show because he's also a musician, and he'll be doing the 9th annual Bad Santas at Union Pool. That's this Friday at 8 p.m., at Union Pool, and it's a benefit for WIN, W-I-N, which benefits women and children's shelters. So you could go check out Martine over at the Bad Santa's Union Pool show this Friday. Well,
that is awesome. I'm so glad to hear that. He's a sweet guy. He does such great work on the best show. Wouldn't have the show without Martine. So go check that show out at Union Pool. And thank you, everybody. And we will be back next week. Bye.